Hi there, I'm James Dapachy, and this is Coffee and a Case Note. Team, today we are talking about a plaintiff who commenced proceedings against a defendant in relation to personal injuries that the plaintiff said occurred at around the time that they gave birth to a child. The defendant, for our purposes, is essentially an insurer. We're not going to deal with the personal injury issues today. We're going to deal instead with the thorny issue of legal professional privilege. And what happens is the defendant, who, as I say, we're going to loosely think of as an insurer, instructs an expert as part of the litigation. And in the course of instructing the expert, or as part of those instructions, sends off a letter to the expert and says, here are some documents, expert, please work through them, and please set up a time for us to confer verbally in relation to your responses. And what happens is the expert accepts that instruction, and the expert ends up having this conference with the lawyer for the insurer and shares some of their thoughts in relation to the opinion that they are going to express in response to those questions. So does that make sense? We then have the insurer's lawyer, who then sends a letter of advice in reliance on the opinions that have been expressed by the expert in that conference. Now, crucially, there is a subpoena issued by the plaintiff. Remember, the plaintiff is the person complaining about being injured. And the plaintiff issues a subpoena that covers a large range of documents. And the documents that they cover, thank you very much, includes documents that are a two-page set of notes that it turns out from the evidence the expert was relying on during his phone call with the insurer's lawyer. This is all going to make sense, I promise. Let me refresh your memory. We've got our expert on a phone call with the insurer's lawyer who is giving their opinion. And in giving their opinion, the expert says, oh, I referred to two pages of notes I've made. Plaintiff issues a subpoena. All these documents are produced, including this two-page document that the expert relied on during that phone call. Now, what the defendant insurer does is say, whoa, we're not going to allow you to see a copy of that two-page document because it is privileged. Legal professional privilege attaches to that document. So what the plaintiff does is file a notice of motion seeking access to that document on the basis either that it is not privileged or if it is privileged, that privilege has been waived. And I'll just pause here to say, if a document is privileged, then it is not able to be relied upon in evidence without the consent of the client. So privilege allows parties who have the benefit of the privilege to prevent that privileged material coming before the court unless they consent to it coming before the court or unless they've waived that privilege in some other way. So the defendant insurer is attempting to prevent the plaintiff from relying on this two-page document. And so we have a position where we're trying to figure out, well, is the material privileged or not? Now, in the authorities, it is acknowledged that there is a grey area here. It is uncontroversial that communications between a lawyer and their client in relation to a piece of litigation are more or less entirely privileged. But this grey area sort of arises when we say, well, what if that lawyer is engaging with a third party, let's say an accountant or a valuer or an expert in this case, where does the privilege arise in that circumstance? And the answer to that is that the privilege arises when the lawyer and that third party, let's say our expert in this case, are communicating in relation to confidential issues for the purposes of the litigation. So the privilege attaches to the communication between the lawyer and the third party for so long as those communications relate to the heart of the litigation. So what the plaintiff says is, well, this two-page document is some notes the expert made, and so we want access to them. And what the defendant says is, no. The expert looked at these notes in conversation with our lawyer. Obviously, these notes relate to, these notes constitute a communication. Now, the defendant fails in this argument because in the expert's evidence that comes before the court, the expert does not give evidence that suggests that they were sort of reading from these notes or that these notes constituted in and of themselves a communication. What instead seems more likely, in the absence of any contrary evidence from the expert, noting the expert had the chance to put this evidence on, is that the notes prepared were sort of in answer to these questions that had been posed to the expert. And indeed, it appeared likely, the inference arose, that the two-page document had material in it that eventually formed part of the final report from the expert. And so, the defendant failed to characterise the two-page document as a communication in the relevant sense. Now, this is important because there's implied waiver in relation to instructions given to an expert, right? So, there is legal professional privilege in, let's say, an expert's report, arguably, until it is disclosed. And once it is disclosed, there is an implied waiver of any related privilege in relation to instructions given. So if I serve the report on you, then any privilege I seek to assert over, let's say, draft versions of the report or letters of instruction or emails of instruction or text messages of instruction I might have given to the expert, I've waived privilege over those as well. And so you might apply pressure to me for those instructions. If those things had been communications on the basis of operating the litigation, then the position would be different. Here, the defendant insurer falls down. Now, the court is then left to consider whether there was indeed a waiver of any privilege if there was privilege. Does that make sense? The court found no privilege, and the court then says, well, if I'm wrong about there being no privilege and there is privilege, was it waived? And the court concludes there, in essence, yes. The court says, well, there's an implied waiver of privilege in respect of instructions. Based on the expert's evidence, it appears to me that the two-page document forms very much part of sort of working papers and background for the preparation of the report. And that is, you know, noting that there's no property in a witness. The witness assists the court rather than assisting specific parties. The court said that, noting all of that, it was comfortable in saying that if there was privilege in the two-page document, that privilege had itself been waived. What that meant was that whether because there was no privilege at all or because there was privilege and it had been waived, the plaintiff was granted access to the two-page document. Hope that discussion assisted you, and I look forward to speaking again soon over another coffee and in respect of another case note. Cheers.